If you do not believe in science, I hope you believe in observed evidence.
I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. This week on ClimateCast, we turn our attention to the wildfires out west. California Governor Gavin Newsom said it plainly during a press conference in a charred, smoldering forest last week.
We're in the midst of a climate emergency. We're in the midst of a climate crisis. We are experiencing weather conditions the likes of which we've never experienced in our lifetime. We're experiencing what so many people predicted decades and decades ago, but all of that now is reality.
That reality is rooted in data. A Climate Central analysis of U.S. Forest Service records shows fires over 1,000 acres in the western U.S. have more than tripled since the 1970s. There are now 5 to 10 times more large fires annually from the northern Rockies to Washington and Oregon, and fire season is now a full 3.5 months longer than it was in the 70s. So what's it like to be a firefighter on the front lines of climate change? Don Whittemore has battled wildfires during his nearly 40-year career working for federal, state, and local fire agencies. Don, welcome to ClimateCast.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
You wrote a piece in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists about your experience during a wildfire in Chadron, Nebraska a few years back. Tell us what kind of fire behavior you saw there.
We got an in-briefing like we do when we arrive on any new large fire about how fires behaved in western Nebraska. But the long seasoned career fire official said, but we haven't seen it this hot and dry, which meant if I'd been paying attention more acutely, he really didn't understand how fires would behave in that particular day. We saw an immense blow up where the fire went from literally almost an initial start, an ignition point to I think it was 10,000 acres in a day. It was the first fire that I remarked to my colleagues that it was angry. And that may seem odd to ascribe a human emotion to a fire, but it was just plain angry in the way it gobbled up the ground. I had to retreat into a house, and as I looked out about a 16-foot by 8-foot tall expanse of glass. It was about 6 p.m. It was pitch blackout. The smoke had obliterated the July sun, and embers blew past the window horizontally like one might view a winter blizzard. And then all of a sudden, that entire 16-foot by 8-foot expanse of glass filled with an enormous fireball. We learned later that that's what's often referred to now as an area ignition, where literally the atmosphere, all the carbon material, all of the heat, all the superheated gases ignites all at once. So it was eye-opening for me in that, coupled with that statement that the fire management officer from Nebraska made at the beginning, we are now starting to see a change where what happened in the past was no longer a reasonable predictor of what we might see in the future.
Did your training prepare you for the changes that you're seeing, or have you had to adjust as fires change with climate change?
I would have to say yes and no. Yellowstone of 1988 was a good example of where the models, the computer models used to predict fire behavior, were about 30% shy of actual behavior. And so they'd run the models and the fire would be predicted to go from point A to point B. At the end of the day, they'd discover it went from point A to point G. And so the next day, they'd run the models, try to tweak it, and they'd say it's going to go from B to C, and it would go from B to H. And so finally, they just said, screw it, it went from B to H yesterday, it's going to go from B to H tomorrow. But that required them to readjust the models. And I think when we look at those who predict fire behavior on fires, fire behavior analysts, they use historical weather as a means to not only predict the next day's fire behavior. So they're using current weather conditions to predict the next day, but they're also using historical weather patterns. The trouble is with climate change and with each year being warmer and hotter and drier in general than the previous year, 5 years, 20 years, whatever, those models can't necessarily predict for these extreme events.
Don, the numbers are clear on temperature and humidity trends in the western U.S. Many western states have warmed 3 degrees Fahrenheit since 1970. Summer precipitation has declined about 40% in many of the forested areas in the western U.S. Does fire behavior respond proportionally to these changes, or is it asymmetric?
The reaction of fires to increased temperature, decreased moisture in the atmosphere, in the fuels and so forth, is not linear. It is exponential. As we get to these extreme events, we're pushing bounds of situations we have not encountered before. Combinations of temperature, drought, and the like that pushes us into what I refer to as novel terrain.
How does a hotter, drier climate impact how things burn during a wildfire, and what does that mean for firefighters?
You know, I appreciate that people recognize that forests, at least they have an opinion that forests have not been managed at some level. But we're seeing, you know, fires in California that are burning in manzanita, Colorado, where they're burning in oak brush, Florida, they're burning in palmetto gallberry, stuff that's not merchantable timber, that's not good for grazing or any other use, their volatility has increased dramatically. We're seeing fires at elevations that are higher than what's even desirable to log. And take that piece one step further, areas that they are logging to try to slow or mitigate fires, the fires are jumping over those without really much resistance. One of the other aspects of climate change in terms of forests and forest management, at least in the West, is the mountain pine beetle. It bores into a tree, and if the tree is healthy, which is generally because it has adequate moisture, soil moisture, it produces a lot of sap, and that pushes the beetle out of the tree. Moreover, the beetle will be killed over winter if it has 10 or so days of sub-zero temperatures. With climate change, we've seen fewer years where you have that cold temperature. So the pine beetle has gotten to be more influential in and destructive in killing forests, which is now making them more susceptible to fire.
So we're now at just a little over 1 degree Celsius of climate warming globally since pre-industrial times. Current trends and all the best science says we're on pace for 2 or 3 degrees Celsius or more by the end of this century. What kind of wildfires can we expect at those temperatures?
I couldn't even venture to guess, because the statistics that you so accurately outlined at the beginning are relative to that 1 degree. Now, if we double that or triple that and overlay the notion that fires response to changes in temperature, humidity, wind is asymmetrical and exponential, then the predictions are somewhat unfathomable. You know, we could easily see Western forests no longer be as we've known them in our generation.
Don, I read your daughter is also a firefighter. I'm sure you're a proud dad on that one. How is climate change likely to impact her career?
You're right. Couldn't be more proud. You know, as somebody who's been in fire as long as I have, I'd like to be able to give her wisdom to keep her safe. And the trouble I come up against is what I know isn't necessarily accurate for what she'll encounter in the future.
Firefighter Don Whittemore, thanks so much for your work and for being on ClimateCast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's ClimateCast. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.